the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today we read the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, and this is the last Sunday for the month of Hatur. This is the third month of the Coptic year. The first month, which is of Tut, the Gospels are focused on the love of God. The second month, which is Paopi, is focused on the power of God, Him healing and raising from the dead. And the third month, which is Hatur, is focused on our response to God's love and our response to His power. And so that's why we read from the gospel of the sowing of the sower, sowing the seeds. The Lord is sowing in us His word, knowledge of His power, and His love. So we are called to bear fruits or to act upon what we have come to know about God. And so today there is a rich man who came and asked about eternal life. He followed all the commandments, and Jesus said, there is one thing you lack. So Jesus is adding another commandment for this man. And he's saying, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me. So he did something that Jesus commended, and then Jesus also then exposed something that the man had trouble doing. And so there's something, a gap here. Why is there an additional commandment that the Lord is asking him? It made me think when we read St. Paul's letter today to the Corinthians, the first thing that he said was, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. As servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So this is what Jesus was pointing out with the man, the distinction between a servant and a steward. Sometimes the terms are used interchangeably, but the scripture creates a distinction between the two. The man was a servant in the sense that he followed what God commanded him to do, to honor his parents, to value the lives of others, to love God, not to covet the things of others, and so forth. And the servant says, God, I want to obey you. Show me what to do. And the servant does so. And in our lives, we pray to God, and we ask him to guide us in the way that he desires us to go. We want to serve him. We want to participate in his economy. We want to be vessels for the kingdom of God. And that is what the man did. And this is exactly what he offered. And this is what Jesus commended him for doing. So what was lacking was stewardship. What was lacking is stewardship. A steward is not the owner of anything. The steward manages everything as if it were his own, but with full awareness that none of it belongs to them and all of it belongs to God. And this is different from simply recognizing that, well, we're not going to take any of our possessions with us when we die, and to detach from possessions because all things perish. Because even that is focused on still storing up for myself things for me. The stewards evaluate everything that they have, and they make full use of them with good intention, with wisdom, with faithfulness, and with honesty. And so Jesus, he wants him to be a steward, but he wasn't able yet to, because instead of saying, sure, well, it's your money anyway, I just manage it on your behalf, he instead walked away sad because from his perspective, the money was his. He had earned it. Not only that, but it shows us truly how hard it is to be a steward, because this man was speaking directly to God himself, knowing full well that Jesus is God. And keep in mind that when Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one who is good, who is God. He's not asking this out of confusion. But he asked it to make it clear as to who are you speaking with. He's saying, why are you calling me God if there is only one that is good, who is God? He's asking him. But then it would be strange if Jesus was confused as to why he would call him good, if Jesus then continues and says, okay, let me tell you what you need for eternal life. So it was clear that the encounter was between God the owner of all of this man's possessions, and the steward, which was the rich man. St. Paul says that he is a steward of the mysteries of God, a steward of the gospel, the plan of salvation, the apostolic faith. Because when Jesus revealed himself to St. Paul, St. Paul realized, my whole life is his. My whole being, all of my pursuits are God's, not mine. And in our society, everything is mine. My money, my body, my rights, my needs, my kids, my career, my achievements. None of those things are ours. None of them are ours. And we can look back, I'm sure if we all look back at everything that we say is ours, I'm sure that we would realize that God was somehow involved in orchestrating all of those things. How many times do we say, yeah, this was unique, this was strange that it happened this way? Because it's not us. Because God is orchestrating for all of these things to happen, because he's asking us to be stewards of all of these things. And the only reason that society even says that is because there's nothing or nobody else to attribute these things to but to us. But we as Christians, we know that we are stewards. These things, everything in our lives, none of it is ours. The scholar, and we too, are stewards of the gospel, the plan of salvation, the apostolic faith. And everything that we have, both material and spiritual, are for the fulfillment of those things. And the scholar Origen, he says that the servant of Christ will read the scriptures carefully, but the steward of the mysteries of God will plumb their depths. The steward examines everything in their life in order to take account of everything present, because it belongs to the owner, and I am entrusted with it. And the same thing is when we die. When we die from this world, we will be asked to give an account of our stewardship. Now, if I manage a business and I don't do my accounting or my budgeting or anything, what will happen if I get audited? I will beg for a grace period or something to try and dig through and figure out how to get things together, but by then it's too late. But the one whose books are in order will be able to give an account on that day. And so one day we will have to give an account, and either we will have something to show or we won't. And it's his right as the owner to ask his stewards or his managers for an account of everything. Jesus, he explains the stewardship in more detail in the parable of the unjust steward. Then just to sort of recap the parable of the unjust steward, there was a steward who was accused of cooking the books. He was wasting the owner's money, so the owner asked him, give an account of your stewardship because there's this accusation against you. And he's thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? I won't be able to get another job after this, and I'm too ashamed to beg, and I'm too old to do manual labor. So he says, okay, I know what to do to secure myself so that I have places to stay and a way to get by. So when he says, okay, go and get me an account of everything, so he goes. And instead what he does is he calls up all of the people that owe his owner money. But of course it wasn't money, it was oil or wheat or whatever. So he goes back and he calls them and he says, okay, how much do you owe? 100 of this? Mark 80. So of course they're like, oh, that's great. Like I just got a 20% discount or I got a 50% discount. But again, he was stealing from the owner because it's not his right. It's not his money to, it's not his place to say, instead of owing 100, now you only need to owe 80. But then, and of course this was so that he's seen in good light with these people so that later on they can say like, oh, you did a good thing for me. Hey, I'll help you out. You need anything? Jesus said that the master commended the unjust steward, because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So Jesus commends him basically because he approached the issue creatively. It's like if you've seen like a movie, or maybe you've heard of like a bank robbery or a heist or something, and they didn't get caught. And you say, oh, that was an impressive strategy, you know? It's not saying that what they did was a good thing or that it's being justified. No, but you say like, you know, wow, they were, look how meticulous and well thought out their plan was in order to secure what they wanted. So Jesus says, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Strange. He's saying that as stewards, make friends by using stolen money. Make friends by using stolen money so that they will receive you into an everlasting home. Now we can see that Jesus is speaking about the end of times. He's speaking about the final judgment. But he's counseling his disciples to pay off other people's debts with someone else's money. And whose money is he speaking about? He's speaking about the Lord's money. So it is stolen because it's not mine. So, and he's saying, so that when it runs out, then those people will accept you into eternal habitation. Everything we have is God's. And what we consider the worldly things, the spiritual things, none of them are ours. And St. Augustine, he says, he was insuring himself for a life that was going to end. Would you not insure yourself for eternal life? So he's being commended for his foresight. We think about things in our lives like retirement, savings, investments, and the question is okay, well, what kind of spiritual investments am I making? What's in my spiritual bank account? What am I doing with my spiritual wealth that has been entrusted to me? Stewards are basically putting down payments now for an eternal reward, and the money is being used for the and the money that's being used for the down payment is not my money. It is God's money. All of the graces, all of the gifts, both the physical, the spiritual, I'm given, I need to spend them on the mysteries of God, to spread the gospel, to participate in the plan of salvation for both myself and others, and uphold the apostolic faith. Now, in the case of the rich man, God needed him to sell his stuff. And some might say that this encounter means as long as we don't have too much, then it's okay. Okay, but then how much is too much? Some might say, okay, then just don't love money. Okay, then why did Jesus tell him to sell everything? Why not ask him to sell part of it? Now, he didn't ask Zacchaeus to sell everything. Actually, Zacchaeus said, I give half of my goods. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. But it is because of this man. For this man, Jesus, as the owner, says, you need to sell off everything you have for your salvation, for the help of others, and because I have a right. I have a right to ask you to do this. The truth is, the truth of the gospel is that we all need to sell something. We will all need to sell something. Some now, more later, more now, less later, but we all need to sell something. Because Jesus, he says, make friends so that when you fail, not if you fail, when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Everything will fail us anyway. The careers we sacrifice for will fail us. The time we use for things that we thought were so important will either fall through or bring us criticism, whether from our family or from our friends. So even those will fail us. The possessions that we longed to attain become damaged and obsolete. Those will fail us. Even the virtues we have, when we don't use them at the right time, fail us. God is saying, sell everything when it has the highest value, not the lowest, because then it will be too late. It's like when, you know, your child asks you if you can play with them and you say no because I'm busy. Okay? Obviously, this is something I faced before. But then, as the steward of the child, at times it's important to sell that time. To sell that time and give it to your child. You say no, and they walk away, and they find something else to do. And then when you're free, you go and say, okay, let's go play. But by then, it's too late. The opportunity already is gone. They don't want to play the game anymore. And so we all are going to be called at times to sell something. Some more than others, but we will need to sell something. Some might need to sell off their career ambitions for their family. Some might need to sell off their excess for the sake of the needy. Some may need to sell off their time for their kids. Some may need to sell off their bodies like the martyrs. Each will be different because we all have unique possessions and gifts from God. There are many things, though, that we share and are deposited into our spiritual bank accounts that we should spend generously too. The Word of God, hope, kindness, love, generosity. We are all given this money that is not ours. We are stewards of them, but we use the money to pay down our debts, the debts of others, so that we will be welcomed into the heavenly kingdom. May God strengthen us, elevate us from servants to stewards, willing to sell that which is for the glory of his kingdom. To him be the glory both now and ever and to the ages of all ages.